99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Let's talk. Are we setting men up by teaching them they must be the boss at home? This is a step down where we move away from current affairs and news and, you know, all of those things you love about hard facts. We start to cool things down quite a bit, you know, on this segment of hard facts. I love it so much. It's the end of my day, so I get to be like pretty chill. I get to be, you know, I love it. I do. And last week, I brought you the story of a woman who says that her boyfriend put her through hell when he lost his job, even though she says she was very supportive and caring. Let me read you what she said. She said, quote, "The first time I allowed myself to be openly obsessed about a boyfriend, he lost his job in the relationship and I saw hell. I had to be careful with what I say, how I say anything, even how I look at him. He started treating me like a plague. If I send him money, it's not gratitude I get first. It's either a fight or an assumption that I'm showing off. I didn't even mind that he lost his job, but he kept assuming. He kept concluding, almost as if he desperately wanted me to mock him or something. I almost lost my mind. For no reason, he wouldn't talk to me for days. He would be active on all the groups we're in together, but he'll not reply me from messages I sent him 4 days ago. I couldn't even share good news about my work because I was achieving so many things at work and I couldn't share because how dare I mention it? I was walking on shells around him. I wanted to end the relationship, but I felt like if I did, it would justify all he always wanted. He would then run to social media and say women dump men that lose their job. That's the narrative that he would have run with, and I didn't want him to have that. One time, he needed airtime. He didn't ask me, his supposed girlfriend. He went to one of the groups we were both in to post it. I felt so insulted. Luckily for me, most people did not know that we were together on that group. That was the last chapter of my realization that this dude I was obsessed about actually hates me. As soon as God answered our prayers and he got a new job, I ended the relationship." End quote. I brought you this story last week, and when I talked to you about it, I asked you what it was about this situation that makes some men get very insecure. You remember? Why is it that some men cannot handle that insecurity they feel around losing their job and their woman having a job and having money and having to provide for the family? Why can't they handle that insecurity in a constructive way? Why do they start attacking the woman and reading meanings into everything that the woman is doing? And Lagos, let me tell you, I got some very compelling calls from you. Really, really compelling. Here's this call from Anthony, for instance.
My name is Anthony Anazodo.
Anthony Anazodo, welcome.
Thank you, Professor. Yeah, I want to actually explain this way.
Okay.
When it comes to a man losing his job, it's a natural thing that comes with people when they lose something or when they're in pain.
Okay.
For example, when a woman is pregnant, you know, she tends to pick some habits that she's not used to before.
Okay.
And if you're a good man or a good husband, you're supposed to support her during that period of 9 months.
Okay.
Because you know she was not used, she's not used to, like, this was not her normal life before.
Right.
So the same way, a good woman, she understands that when a man loses his job, don't see it as a normal way of life, because at that time, that man is in pain, psychological pain. No man wants to stay without being in control of his home or being with money.
Okay.
And if you are very emotional or supportive woman, you should understand at that point in time that you have an extra job to do in that man in order to make him understand that he's still the boss or the head of the home. If you just tend to, like, you know, yes, maybe somebody can tell him when you guys are, when these are normal, you tell him, oh, get away, or you are crazy, you know. It was a joke. He will take it as a joke, but things were normal, but it's not normal. Once you tell him that, he will start to feel like, oh, you're not insulting me because
But wouldn't that amount to walking on eggshells around him for the woman?
As I said, it's a bigger job for the woman at that point in time. It won't be as usual.
Right.
Just like I explained earlier, when a woman is pregnant, a man needs to work extra.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to, you know, be supportive.
Right.
Even a woman who is working,
mm-hmm.
and you guys are in marriage, and she loses her job,
uh-huh.
it will also amount into some extra work for the man as well. Once you're a human being, you are bound to react when you lose something good going on in your life.
Right.
So I am not saying that there is issues.
No. I understand. I understand. You're just trying to explain where it comes from as far as you're concerned.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Anthony Anazodo. And I do hope you call us again. Thank you again, Anthony, for calling. And Lagos, I want us to look at what Anthony said. Can we do that? He said that when a man loses his job, his woman now has a second job. The job of making him feel like he's still the boss. So what Anthony is saying is, the reason some of these men get hostile when they lose their jobs is they feel like maybe their woman will no longer see them as the boss. So they are using their hostility to reassert dominance. But here's my question. Isn't the real problem that we are still raising men to believe that they must be the boss in their homes? Isn't that the real problem? First of all, must there be a boss? In my house, I'm not the boss. And my husband is not the boss. We are partners. We don't overrule each other. And it works fine. I respect him completely. But guess what? He gives me the exact same level of respect. And funny enough, our house has not collapsed. So I'm honestly wondering whether there's an actual need for someone to be the boss in a two-person marriage or two-person relationship. Or is it simply because a culture said so or a religion said so? Is there really a need for a boss in a two-person marriage, two-person relationship? And if we could get rid of this idea that there must be a boss, would men go easier on themselves when they lose their jobs? Will they go easier on their wives? What do you think? 0700-993-993-993. And here's my second issue with that make him feel like he's the boss statement, right? Would his losing his job and his money make him less of a boss to his wife if he had not been using his money to control her? Do you understand the question I'm asking now? Would a man losing his job and his money make him less of a boss to his wife if he had not been using that money to control his wife? Is a man who uses his money to control and dictate to his partner more likely to be afraid of losing control when he loses the money? Again, let me use myself as an example, right? There have been times when my husband made more money than me. And there have been times when I have made more money than my husband. And there have been times when we made the same amount, right? But it has never affected how we treat each other. Even when he made more than 5 times my salary, he still treated me like an equal. We still made financial decisions together. We still planned the household together. So now, if such a man loses his job, God forbid, baby, you can't lose that job, please there. But, you know, you can't lose that job. But let's say that such a man loses his job, right? Do you think he will be afraid of how his wife will treat him? I have more questions to ask, but let's start here first. Is the problem that men are being taught that they must be the boss? Does there need to be a boss among two married people or two people in a loving relationship? Because the story I shared with you wasn't between a married couple, now boyfriend and girlfriend. Are men afraid to be broke because of how they treat their women when they have money? When how they treat their wives when they have money? Women, call me on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. If you're listening from the abroad, give us a call on Skype. Skype is Nigeria Info 99.3. Hello.
Hello, Sandra. Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name, ma'am?
This is Joy.
Hi, Joy. Talk to me.
I don't think there's supposed to be a boss between husband and wife.
Okay.
It's wrong. When you now be a boss, then your wife is what? Sandra.
Employee.
Now, since there is a boss, the wife is who? And because they are not secure before, that is why they want to be a boss. Because they were controlling the woman before.
Okay.
With the resources they have.
Sorry.
So they are afraid now when they lost their job.
Mm-hmm.
Wahala have started. Anything the woman did is because of her. They have no job.
Mm.
Because they think they are the head. The way they train men is wrong. That you say you are the head, you are the head. Who is the tail? I don't like that word. Thank you.
All right, Joy. Joy, thank you very much. Well, I mean, they tell men you're the head and they say women are the neck. 99.3, hello. How are you doing, sir? What's your name?
My name is Ugochukwu Anola.
Ugochukwu, are we setting men up by teaching them that they must be the boss at home?
I didn't get your question.
Are we setting men up by teaching them that they must be the boss at home?
But say, even in a team, maybe your office, they sent you out as a team. Maybe you are 7 or 8 in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They say, you lead this team.
Mm-hmm.
But you are all equal in the office, but they say, you lead the team.
Mm.
So you take critical decisions. If you come to a junction that you can take a critical decision at the head of that team. So that's just a normal setup.
No, usually if there's somebody that is leading the team, the decisions that person takes is decisions that come as a result of consensus.
Yeah, consensus.
Uh-huh. No, the person is not overriding.
If everything is brought on the table,
mm.
We will check and balance it. The one that's too small, you take it.
Mm.
That must be the head of the team.
So yeah. you're saying that they're in a union between two loving people, there must be a boss.
There must be a head.
Mm.
There must be a head, yes.
Okay.
If there is no head, there is no control. Nobody, you take a critical control. This either go like, okay, this is where we are heading to.
But like I said, between my husband and I, there's no head. Mm-hmm. And yet, our household is not in shambles. It has not scattered.
I love the way you put it. There is no head. Because the direction you are coming, he likes it. He favors him. The decisions he loves it. But there is a time that it will be a critical decision. They say, you are saying, let's do it. No. There must be a... That she will say, no. Let's do one. I love this. Like in organizations where everything is put on the table,
mm-hmm.
suggestions will be given, this one, so everybody will, then the head will say, it comes to a dicey this thing that there must be a decision where there is a.
I'm using my own self as an example now.
That's why,
right?
I'm explaining your own side.
So for us, when there must be a decision, nobody overrules mm-hmm. the other. We talk about it until we can come to a decision that everybody is comfortable with.
That decision that everybody is comfortable with.
Nobody overrules the person. But you're saying that there must be somebody sometimes that can overrule.
Because you always come in a balance. There hasn't been a critical decision that it doesn't suit him. When there is a critical decision, somebody must take that critical decision.
Okay. Why must it be him? Why can't it be her? Why must it be the man? Why not the woman?
Why must he be the man?
Yes, why must it be the man? Why not the woman?
Right from creation.
Let's not go there. Let's not lean back onto the I'm trying to use nice words. let's go forward, you know. Let's put our minds through rigorous thinking, right? All right, let me come back to you. 99.3, hello. Oh, there's no one there. Because if I go back to Ugochukwu's example about teams in the office, right? And when you're going out as a team to go and do something, sometimes the team leader is a woman, right? Sometimes if the team needs to take critical decision as a team leader and the team leader is a woman, she'll take it. So why is it okay for her to do it in the office but not within a loving partnership between her and her boyfriend or her and her husband? Why is that not? Why is it okay in the office but not okay in the home? Okay. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Hello, good evening, Sandra.
Good evening. What's your name, ma'am?
Yeah, this is Florence.
Florence, welcome. Talk to me.
Yes. See, Sandra, it is because of the way our men were brought up in this part of the world that made them feel that way.
Okay.
Just like the example you gave, when my husband was alive, we are running our home the same way you explained. He does not take any decision without consulting me. We sit together in everything. And mine, I might bring a decision that will say, okay, since you feel this way, let's do it that way. I had a sister that when her husband lost his job and she was doing everything, to the extent that she was building a house. One day when they traveled home, and she went and bought some house materials. So as she brought them home, the man was angry that, you have gone to buy and I told that people will know that you are the one building the house. Why didn't you give me that money so that I will go and do it as a man? And one thing is that if you give him that money, he will go and buy inferior things and put the remaining money in the pocket. So for me, that is not the way it's supposed to be. Whether the man loses his job or the woman, everything is supposed to flow, you know, so that nobody will feel superior.
Okay. All right, Florence, thank you very much for calling. 99.3.
Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Sandra. What's your name, sir?
My name is Linus from Uganda.
Linus, talk to me.
Well, I tell you, Sandra, it's only a natural thing. When you get married to a man, does he come to your home or do you go to his home?
Well, we moved into a house together, so...
Sandra, you move into a man's home, don't you?
No. I didn't move into his house. He didn't move into my house. We moved into a brand new house together.
All right, Sandra, when the children come, who do they look up to as a boss, as senior partner?
Both of us.
No, Sandra, come on.
The children currently look up to both of us as the bosses of the home.
Equal partners.
Currently, yes. We've got two boys, and they currently look at both of us as equal partners. Our word is law in the house, equally.
No, Sandra, I think it's only natural. Can the children look up to their daddy as the senior partner or the boss, if you may say so?
Actually, no. They look up to both of us as the boss.
Well, I think making a man a boss as such is not right. The partner is the head. The man is the head.
Why must there be a boss between two loving people? Why must there be a head?
If one is not there, if the woman is not there, the children expect their father to take control.
And if the father is not there, the children expect their mother.
Yeah, because the father is not there.
Yes, but if the father isn't there, the children expect the mother to take control. If the
because the father is not there.
Yes, because but the same applies to what you just said about if the father is not there.
Ask any child, if both of them are there, who do they look up to as the senior partner?
I'm giving you the example of my own children. You'll say, ask any child. I'm giving you my own household example. You say, ask any child. So my own does not count. Linus, thank you very much for calling me. You know, Anthony said something else on that call, right? Anthony said that when a man loses his job, it's a very emotionally stressful situation for him. He compared it to a woman being pregnant. But here's the thing with that. When a woman is pregnant, her hormone levels change. There are actual changes to her brain chemistry, which cause mood swings and high emotions. Then there's physical discomfort of, for some women, morning sickness. For a lot of women, joint pain. For a lot of other women, different kinds of winchy pain. When someone loses their job, whether it's a man or a woman, it is not the same thing hormonally or physically. This thing that happens to some men when they lose their job and then they become roaring lions, isn't it more psychological? Isn't it more about how we raise our boys and our men to feel about themselves and their worth? If we raised boys and men, and that's why I'm raising my boys in a very specific way. If we raised boys and men to see their worth as more than the money that they make, would they still react so negatively towards their wives for being unemployed? Because remember, the story this woman shared, her boyfriend lost his job. She was kind and providing and loving, and it wasn't enough. The boyfriend just kept waiting for something to happen, and she wasn't making anything happen that was negative, according to her. And it wasn't enough. Does it come from us raising boys to expect that their worth, their value is tied to money, how much money they make? Does that come from how we raise boys and girls to believe that in a relationship between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, a loving relationship that should be a partnership, there must be a boss? Does it come from men controlling women when they have money and then believing that now that they don't have money anymore, they don't have anything to control the women with anymore? Is that where that comes from? Is that what makes some men, when they lose their jobs, to allow their insecurity about losing their jobs, turn them into impossible people to live with? 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
Hi, what's your name?
I'm Bioye Fanyaba.
Bioye, talk to me.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi.
Very interesting topic.
Mm-hmm.
I actually can relate with the lady's narrative. It happened to me.
Okay.
I think the bottom line, back to what we're saying today, is the way the mindset and insecurities. I can let you know that most of the men that will call today will be like the man that just got off the phone.
Okay.
I love your your marriage. I believe in partnership.
Hmm.
I believe in everything you're doing in your house. It's super fantastic. And I also would say you have a really good man that has an open mindset to, I don't know who brought up the whole concept of partnership and how you guys decided to do it, but he was able to go along with it, and that's really, really good. And like, I just wish that we would have more men like that in our environment, because a lot of them, if they don't come from the, you know, the Bible says, and I'm Christian, the Bible says this, or it's not, as the other man said, oh, it's not natural. Imagine him saying senior partner. Who says senior partner in a family setting? I mean, who? If you go to a child and ask them who is the senior partner, they're not going to know what you're talking about. Who says that? Answer me, Sandra. Does anybody say that in a family setting?
Well, today's the first day I've heard it, so...
Exactly. You're going to hear all kinds of things tonight. Believe me. And good luck with that.
Thank you.
It's a really, really good topic, and we need to talk about it.
All right, Brio.
Well done, as usual.
Thank you. Thank you, Brio, for calling. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra.
How are you? What's your name, ma'am? Good evening.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's your name?
I'm Kike.
Kike, welcome. Talk to me.
Thank you. As you see, marriage is an institution created by God.
Mm-hmm.
The family is a social institution created by God.
Mm-hmm.
And God is a very organized person, right?
Mm-hmm.
The husband is the head of the home.
Mm-hmm.
But the wife should not be subservient to the husband. The husband is not the boss, but the head. Because in every... let's say organization or in every team, there must be a head. Even our body, we have different parts, but the head controls the other parts of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Each part of the body is equal. You can't do without your legs. It's as important as your brain.
Mm-hmm.
But the brain is the boss of the body, or is the head of the body. So in the home too, the husband, that is the way God created it.
Mm-hmm.
But the wife should not be, you know, subservient to him. Like I said,
mm-hmm.
the wife is not the man's slave, right?
Mm-hmm.
The wife is not the man's slave.
Mm-hmm.
The wife is not inferior to the man.
Mm-hmm.
But there is division of labor. There are things expected of the man, and there are things expected of the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody cannot be doing the same thing. When it comes to decision-making, it should be both partners.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that God expects from the man, and there are things that God expects, you know, the woman to be in charge of. For example, the man is supposed to provide for the home. And that's there to say that hello, are you there?
I'm here, I'm listening,
That is not to say that the woman cannot help. That is not to say that, but we know that the way God designed it, the man... is the primary provider and protector of his home.
Mm-hmm.
The woman is the primary nurturer of the children,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That is not to say that it's only the woman's job to raise the children. No,
mm-hmm.
but the wife, the woman, is the primary nurturer of the children. That's why they say the hand that works the cradle rules the world.
Mm-hmm.
So they are both partners, but you must get something right. You know, the husband is still the head.
Mm-hmm.
There's division of labor. So mm-hmm. each person should know is our own primary duty. Also, they still come together to work as a team.
Mm-hmm.
In every organization, there is always a head. You know, otherwise there'll be confusion.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying, Kike. How come there's no confusion in my home, though?
The way you are running your home is good, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's because both of you are understanding. But let me ask you, Sandra,
mm-hmm.
your husband,
mm-hmm.
is he not the primary provider in your home?
No, we're both providing for the home.
Hey, that is your own agreement. You agreed, right? That's what works for you.
But isn't that a way that takes away pressure from the man and from the woman? Because we're both because you say provider, right? Why must the provision be money? Why can't the provision be childcare? Why can't the provision be raising the children? That's a form of provision, isn't it?
Well, The Bible, well, I'm talking as a Christian, though, the Bible
okay,
is clear
so,
on this one.
Okay, so
if the woman that gets pregnant, though...
Hold on, Kike. Kike,
men and women should be getting pregnant.
Kike, maybe one day we'll get there, hopefully, so they can get pregnant, right? But for right now, right, let's assume that as a society, we're not using Bible to make laws for ourselves. We're trying to figure out what could work for us as a society so that we have as much satisfaction as possible with each other as boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, and the family unit, right? So let's not use Bible to legislate. Let's take a look at what is fair, what is equitable, what is just. And in that situation, right, if we continue to insist that, oh, men must provide, and then when we're talking about men must provide, we're thinking only in how much money does he bring home, are we not then setting up ourselves to be on the receiving end of, when he doesn't provide, we now become the person he attacks with all the frustration of, I can't provide, therefore you're seeing me as less than because I can't provide.
Well, Alexandra, I don't think so. If both parties are understanding, right, anything can happen to a man's job.
Mm-hmm.
If the man loses his job,
mm-hmm,
and the woman is the one working, of course, the woman becomes the sole provider at that time. It's about understanding.
Yes,
right?
But when the woman becomes the sole provider, it becomes rough on the man because we've raised men, because of Bible, to believe that their job is to provide. And we've taught them that there's only one way to provide.
No. That's not what the Bible is saying. The Bible is just saying that everybody has his own role to play. Just like in your place of work, you have your role. Your manager has his role. Your gate man has his role.
I'm not in love with my manager. I'm not sleeping with my manager. I am in love with my husband. I am sleeping with my husband. So the rules are different, aren't they?
That's the way God designed it. Except you want to redesign what God created. Yeah, so
okay, Kike, thank you very much for calling. God shall expect you to redesign, because God created you to create. Ye are gods, right? God created you to create. So are you just going to, because if we can say, that's the way God designed it. God made trees that produce cotton. We could have left the trees there in the way they produce cotton in their natural state. But we didn't. We instead said, this cotton, what can we make it into? So we started using them to make t-shirts. This wool that is on sheep's body, what can we use them and do? We started making sweaters with them. God created us so that we can create, right? And you also have to remember that when the Bible was written, and I honestly didn't want to get into like a theology session this evening, but when the Bible was written, it was written at a time that is remarkably different from the world we currently live in. The Bible was written when the world was made up of farmers and herdsmen. So the people that sat down and decided, okay, let's allow this text to remain, let's remove this text, let's leave this text, right? And then came and said they had divine inspiration to put it all together. They had to come up with guidelines, so to speak, that made sense at a time in a world where there were very little rules. Everybody was either a farmer or a herdsman. And so you needed men to go out and go and farm and go and save their cattle from wolves that want to come and attack cattle. You needed that. And then you needed women to stay home and, you know, care for the children. But the world is so remarkably different today. And so therefore, I think that as a society, we need to decide what is a just and equitable way. Because I take a look at what Kike was saying. So Kike was saying, oh no, it's a partnership, but there's a head. There are roles, but it's a partnership. And I'm like, yes, it is a partnership. What a partnership is what's available to do today. I keep using my own house as an example, and I'm not saying that my house is perfect or that we have it all figured out, right? But we have a system that ensures that I'm happy and he's happy, and neither of us are feeling like, oh, you they cheat me, or they cheat you, or I'm overworked, or you're overworked. We have a system that works. right? So we've managed to create a system for ourselves where I feel respected. He feels respected. I make more money than him sometimes. He makes more money than me sometimes. We make the same amount of money sometimes. He makes way more money than me at other times. But at every single time, it's money has not become the thing that determines who is the boss in the house. Because we both came to the table and decided, I'm going to treat you as a human being. That's it. And as a human being, what do you want to happen here? And to be honest, I thank his mother and his father, because that's what was also modeled for him growing up. He saw that with his own parents. And so he became that. Right? And that's why I'm asking, are we setting men up by teaching them that they must be the boss at home? So when they now eventually lose their jobs and they can no longer be the boss at home, is that what then leads to them attacking the women that they are with? Regardless of whether the woman is being kind and supportive and sweet. That insecurity that comes from losing your job, whether you're a man or you're a woman. Now, a woman loses her job, she's not attacking anybody. Well, I don't know. I haven't heard stories. Maybe she is. But a man loses his job, some of them are more likely to take it out on their partners. Where does that come from? That's the conversation we're having this evening, by the way. All right, let's see who else we can talk to. 99.3.
Hello, Sandra.
How are you doing, sir? What's your name?
I'm good. My name is Jeff.
Jeff, talk to me.
Yeah. Very sensitive conversation. I'm not sure I'm going to have a landing, because if I'm actually going to be speaking from, different perspectives.
And that's fine.
Yeah, but the last speaker actually summed it up. I'm married, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I've been married for going to 16 years now.
Congratulations.
And I have 4 kids, yeah.
Okay.
I actually got married very early. Mm-hmm. And my wife was quite young, about 22. She was just out of school when we got married. I've gone through a lot of experiences, haven't come thus far in my marriage,
mm-hmm.
and I've learned through as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I just realized that it's equally very important to see everybody as equal in that whole setting. But be that as it may, the man is still the head. And I'll give you a few examples. When I got married, I was working, right?
Okay.
I was working. I had a good job, and my wife wasn't doing anything. And I just told her,
mm-hmm.
"There's just no need. We just started up, and she wanted to work. She wanted to work. I said, there's just no need. You know, realize it. You know, let's have a child. And from there, we'll see if things. You know, continue this way, maybe there are other things you can do.
Mm.
That was for me, but she wanted to, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't take away the fact that she wasn't coming to the table.
Mm.
Because I remember, apart from me providing,
mm-hmm.
there was also a source from our family side.
Okay.
She was receiving, you know, stipend from family business and all of that was brought to the table,
okay.
right? That made us equal partners.
Okay.
But there were decisions, you know, that we both took together. There were decisions that she also expected me to actually, be the one to actually, take that decision.
Take
right?
point on.
So yes, mm-hmm. what I'm saying is that in my own case,
mm-hmm.
In terms of provision,
mm-hmm.
right? She has a business now,
mm-hmm.
doing great, and
and she's still coming to the table, mm-hmm. right? I don't bother her. Mm-hmm. For some things, you need to do some things without me knowing. I mean, I can tell you just a few days ago, my mom even called me and said, oh, look at what this woman did a week ago. She didn't tell me.
Mm.
And I haven't been judged by mom for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I just got to know yesterday. That's to tell you that she's committed to the family, but she still sees me as a head.
Okay.
I mean, I can tell you that.
Okay.
Yeah. So people are actually going to be speaking from
their own personal experiences.
Yeah.
Jeff, thank you so much for calling. Bolale Nketu says, if the relationship is truly a loving one, the man will consider his woman as a partner and not someone subordinate to him. This is one of the issues I have with marriage as traditionally conceived in Africa. Your relationship with your husband is rare. Even my boyfriend on whom I spend, who doesn't or extremely rarely reciprocates a tiny fraction of my spending, carries himself as if he were my boss. He constantly complains I don't route my actions through him. Maybe things will be better with a younger generation. Bolale Nketu, thank you so much for your message. I wish we had more time to stay on this, but I'm out of time. But yeah, we'll come back to it tomorrow. 6:45, keep a date with me. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili on social media. Yes, that's actually my father's name, not my husband's name. Sandra Ezekwesili. Good night, Lagos.